Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. On the show today, we have the Health and Lifestyle Report from Ana Mateo. And we close the program with our American History Program, The Making of a Nation. But first, here's Susan Shand.
Luciano Oliveira looks at the floor of the small, poorly built wooden house where he lives. It is among thousands of similar poor homes in an occupation near the city of Sao Paulo. Oliveira was fired from his restaurant job a few months ago after arriving from the northeastern state of Bahia. "I can't read, I can't write, and I have nowhere else to go," said Oliveira. "But here I met so many people like me. I feel I am part of a movement now. This has become my family." More than 8,000 shacks and poorer shelters make up Oliveira's occupation, or squat. It is one of the largest in Brazil. The 20-year-old Brazilian group, Homeless Workers Movement, organized it and others across the country. The group seizes abandoned government buildings to house homeless people. Sometimes the group negotiates with governments and private companies for such use. Brazil continues to recover from economic crisis. Oliveira's neighborhood shows how difficult life has been for the poorest Brazilians.
The Labor Union Research Organization, DSE, says almost 42% of squatters are unemployed. That is almost 30 percentage points above the national average. On average, they earn about $350 a month, less than the average cost of rent for a two-bedroom home in Sao Paulo's metropolitan area. 17% of 15 to 17-year-olds in squats are not attending school. Instead, many must work to help their families survive. The occupation near Sao Paulo has little electricity. Some shelters are no more than pieces of plastic on the ground and above. Others have wood walls and floors. Adriana Marcolino is a DSE researcher. She said Brazil is not investing enough in social policies, including the minimum wage. She said more such occupations may be established as a result. She called the squatters the face of Brazil's poorest citizens. For many, the squatters are the face of Brazil's deepest poverty. Many entertainers organized a concert in central Sao Paulo on December 10th to raise money to help the homeless. Grammy Award winner Caetano Veloso sought to perform at a squat. A judge barred him from doing so, saying it was unsafe.
Recently, gunshots were fired at the occupation from a nearby building. One squatter was wounded in the arm. The homeless workers' movement has received much attention this year. Some think its leader, Guilherme Boulos, will run for president next year. If so, he would take votes away from former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, the frontrunner. But Lula da Silva may not seek any office at all. A court found him guilty of corruption in July and sentenced him to more than 9 years in prison. The case is in the appeals process. Bulos said whether to run is not a decision for now. He said his biggest concern now is the squats. Recently, squatters seized the headquarters of Sao Paulo State's Housing Administration and demanded negotiations with the government. They did not leave until the government agreed to let the squats remain for at least 4 months while the two sides held talks.
On a recent day at the squat, most tents sat empty as their owners were out looking for work. Some people made use of the 5 kitchens and several bathrooms. Renata Swisic, 31, has lived in the squatters' neighborhood for 3 months. She last held a steady job 3 years ago. She begs to support her 4 children. She says her 2 youngest live with their grandmother mostly, so they do not have to bathe in cold water every day. When the cold comes at night and during our showers, we can't pretend that we want to be here forever, she said. The building company, MZM, owns the land on which the squat sits. The company is taking legal action to reclaim the property. In October, a court ordered the land to be returned to MZM. The squatters have ignored the decision. Luciano Oliveira spoke of possible police action to remove the squatters. If they come, we will be here, he said. We have nothing to lose. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And I'm Susan Shand.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. As 2017 comes to a close, we look back at the health and lifestyle stories that were popular with our listeners. One way we judge the popularity of an article is by how many comments it gets on our website. Listeners also use the comments section to practice their English writing. This is a great way to use the tool. To help everyone learn from the comments, we will post the original sentences and then some suggestions on how to improve them. Here are some of the most commented on stories from 2017. Who doesn't want to be happier and more successful? Self-improvement stories continue to be some of our most popular. Many of you were interested in how small talk can make us happier. Over 70 listeners took the time to write about ways they use small talk in their lives. One listener, Samo, says making small talk is hard. Samo was thankful to get some tips to make small talk easier. On the grammar side of things, please note a very common mistake when using small talk. We never add an S to talk. It's just small talk. Jane from Brazil claims that most Brazilians love chit-chat, another word for small talk. Jane also added many exclamation marks in her comment. Adding exclamation marks is a great way to add excitement and enthusiasm to your writing. But you should know that adding too many makes your message sound much more casual. So it's great when you're writing to friends. They will love it. But don't overuse exclamation points if you are writing to a client or to your boss. they may not love it so much. After reading the story, Five Habits of Very Successful People, many listeners commented on the suggestions and shared their own habits. Here are two suggestions from the article. Plan your day before you go to sleep and get up early. A listener named Ahmed agrees that these two tips are important. Sleep not only keeps us healthy, it also keeps us smarter. Our story, Sleep Helps Us Learn, explains how sleep affects our brains and our ability to learn. When we sleep, our brains have time to clean themselves. This cleaning process allows new learning to occur. The article also gives suggestions on how to get a better night's sleep. Many listeners wrote in thanking us for explaining a complicated topic and for giving suggestions. Biju is a loyal listener and often comments. He included a great grammar trick in the comments section, the parallel structure. His sentence ends with three verbs that are all in the same tense. He writes, "Without proper sleep, no man can rationally remember, think clearly, and act calmly." As life becomes more stressful, people may appreciate new ways to help them de-stress. Our story, One Method for Controlling Emotions, Stress, does just that. Through the findings of two studies, a researcher explains that talking to yourself in the third person about a stressful situation may help you deal with it better. Some listeners wrote that they tried it and it worked. Some shared that they didn't think it would work for them. Some listeners simply said they are thankful for the English lessons we provide. Food is always a popular topic on the Health and Lifestyle Report. We often report on the ways food affects our bodies and minds. In the past couple of years, coconut has become very popular in the States. Our story, Is Coconut Good for You?, asks if the health benefits are worth the calories. Nina writes, "First of all, thank you so much for your lessons. They are all very interesting and help me to improve my English. I like coconut, but I didn't know that coconut oil is good for the health. Very interesting report." You're welcome, Nina, and your English is excellent. By the way, an easier way to say good for the health is just healthy. We would like to thank all the listeners who shared recipes in the comments section. They gave different ways to use coconut, coconut milk, and coconut water. The health benefits of olive oil are well studied. One of our most popular health stories, Olive Oil May Protect the Brain, explores how this popular oil protects the brain. Some of our other most popular stories report on the importance of exercise. The story, Walking the Wonder Drug, explores the findings of a study about the benefits of walking. A wonder drug is a very effective cure or treatment. Thomas Friedman is the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the U.S. He calls walking the closest thing we have to a wonder drug. The American Heart Association explains the findings of the study on its website. Walking quickly or briskly can lower your risk of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. And that is the last Health and Lifestyle Report for 2017. As we enter 2018, let us know what topics are important to you. Would you like to learn about sports and exercise trends? Would you like more stories about food? Are you curious about career advice or stories about parenting? Let us know in the comments section. I'm Ana Mateo. I hope you had a great 2017.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to The Making of a Nation, a program of American history for people learning English. I'm Steve Ember. On March 4th, 1801, Thomas Jefferson walked to the Capitol building in Washington. He was about to be inaugurated as the third president of the United States. He entered the Capitol to the thunder of cannon. All the senators and representatives stood until Jefferson sat down. A few moments later, the newly elected president rose and began to read his inaugural speech.
The most famous line in it is, "We are all Federalists, we are all Republicans." It was a statement about, after all of the bitter partisanship of the 1790s, as bitter as anything we see in America in the 2010s, Jefferson says he's going to create a kind of bipartisan presidency.
Historian Joseph Ellis is the author of many books about America's founders. He says Thomas Jefferson's speech was one of the best inaugural addresses in American history. Friends and fellow citizens, I have been called to the position of chief executive of our country. I must tell you how honored and thankful I am. But I must tell you, too, of my fears. Yes, I must tell you that the duties of your president are too much for any one man. However, I tell myself that I am not alone. When I see all your faces, I understand the wisdom of those who wrote our Constitution. For in you, the members of Congress, and in the judicial branch of our government, I know that I shall find the strength, the honesty, the courage that I shall need. We have passed through a hard year of bitter struggle between two political parties. We have shown the world that in America, all can speak, write, and think freely. The debate is over. The people have decided. Now is the time for all of us to unite for the good of all. The majority of the people have won the contest. But we must always remember that there is a minority. True, the majority must rule. But the rule of the majority must be just. The rights of the minority are equal to the rights of the majority and must be protected with equal laws. Let us unite with hearts and minds. Let us have peace and love in our relations with each other. For without peace and love, liberty and life are sad things indeed. Let us remember that the religious freedom which we have in the United States is nothing if we do not have political freedom. If we permit men to be punished because they do not agree with the majority. For hundreds of years in Europe, men have killed and have been killed in the name of liberty. It is not surprising, then, that even here, in our peaceful land, all cannot agree. But it is possible to have different ideas without forgetting our common wish. We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists. Most of us love our country. Most of us want it to grow. There may be among us those who want to end the Union of the States or to end our Republican government. Well then, let those men speak freely without fear. They are wrong, but America is strong enough to let them say what they wish. When men can think and speak freely, there is no danger to the nation. For those who do not agree with them also have the right to think and speak freely. There are some honest Americans who are afraid that a Republican government cannot be strong. But I ask these good men one question. Do they want us to destroy a government which has kept us strong and free for 10 years? I hope not. We have here in the United States the best and strongest government in the world. This is the only nation on the earth whose citizens know that the government belongs to them. Then there are some who say that men cannot govern themselves. What do they offer us instead? Government by kings? Are kings men or are they angels? I will let history answer this question. Let us keep our union and our government by the people through their elected representatives. We are very fortunate here in the New World. Three 3,000 miles of ocean separate us from the wars and the dictatorships of Europe. Here we do not suffer as the people of Europe do. Here we have a great and rich land, with room for 100, perhaps 1,000 generations of Americans yet to be born. We and the American children who will come after us all have equal rights. We honor a man not because of his father, but for what the man is. We do not care what religion a man follows. In this country, men practice religion in many ways. Yet all our religions teach honesty, truth, and the love of man. All worship one God who rules the universe, who wants men to be happy in life. Yes, we are a fortunate people. What more do we need to make us happy? We need one more thing, my fellow citizens, a wise government. A government that keeps men from injuring each other. A government that gives men freedom to live and work in peace as they wish, and does not take from them the fruit of their labor. That is good government. In my short speech, I cannot tell you all the things that I believe our government should do and should not do, but I will tell you what I believe to be the most important principles of our government. This is what I believe in. The same and equal justice to all men, no matter what their religion, their political beliefs, or their class. Peace, trade, and friendship with all nations, but alliances for war with no nations. Support of the rights of the state governments, which are the best defenders of our republic. A strong central government under the Constitution to protect our peace at home and our safety in other parts of the world. We must keep the right of the people to elect their representatives. This is the safe way to change governments that make mistakes. Without the right of election, we will have bloody revolution. In our election, the majority must rule. This is the lifeblood of a republic. If the majority is not allowed to rule, then we will have dictatorship. America should have a good volunteer army to protect us in peace and in the first days of war until we use professional soldiers. But at all times, the civil officers of the government must be first over the military officers. The rights of man will be of the highest importance in this government. Information, knowledge, and opinions must move easily and swiftly. We will support freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of the person protected by the habeas corpus, and the right to trial by juries that are chosen fairly. These are the freedoms that brought us through a revolution and that made this nation. Our wise men wrote these freedoms. Our heroes gave their lives for these freedoms. They are the stones on which our political philosophy must be built. If we make the mistake of forgetting them, let us return to them quickly, for only these rights of man can bring us peace, liberty, and safety. Well then, my fellow citizens, I go to the position which you have given me. I am no George Washington. I cannot ask you to believe in me as you did in the man who led us through our revolution, the man who will always be first in the love of our country. I ask only that you give me your support and your strength. I know that I shall make mistakes, and even when I am right, there will be men who will say that I am wrong. I ask you to forgive my mistakes, which I promise will at least be honest mistakes. And I ask you to support me when I am right against the attacks of those who are wrong. Always, my purpose will be to strengthen the happiness and freedom of all Americans, those who do not agree with me, as well as those who do. I need you. I go to my work as President of the United States, ready to leave that position when you and the American people decide that there is a better man for it. May the power that leads the universe tell us what is best and bring to you peace and happiness.
That's all the time we have today, but we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Hope you can join us then. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for listening.